Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a fantastic show planned for you today. Isn't that right, Joe?
We do, Andy. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. We have a special guest that's on the line that's going to talk to us about overcoming challenges and succeeding in business. But first, let me introduce our crew here today. Kathy Houston, how are you?
Good. How are you, Andy?
Oh, I'm doing just perfect.
I like Joe's little collection of animals.
Yeah, we're scared of those, and so we're not going to ask about those. Michelle Bell, how are you today?
He's kissing the ducky, and that's not a euphemism, by the way.
He is indeed kissing the ducky. We've already heard from Joe Haley, but Joe,
what up?
You doing all right?
I'm doing good, Andy.
You're doing good?
I'm doing terrific.
Excellent. Well, let's dive into the show. We have, Vinny doing the phones. We'll get to call-ins later, but our call-in number is 215-953-4979. Mina on the tech board doing the sounds and all sorts of fun stuff over there. And we have a special guest on the line, Christopher Gardner, who's going to be the keynote speaker at ASI Chicago on July 18th. He's the author of Pursuit of Happiness, and he has overcome multiple challenges to become a highly successful businessman. And he's here this morning to share his story. Christopher, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, we see that you have overcome many challenges in your life to be very successful in business, even starting your own business with startup capital of only $10,000 and a single desk. So let's just get to some tips and strategies that you might have. What are three keys to your success?
First of all, you've got to be doing something that you are truly passionate about. You've got to be doing something that the sun cannot come up soon enough in the morning because you want to go and do your thing. Also, it can't just be about money. It can't just be, I want to make money. It's got to be about something bigger than that. And bigger than that could be, hey, I want to build something. I want to create something. It can't just be about how much money can I make and how fast.
Right. Now you overcame even homelessness, and you talk about the idea of having a passion for something. How did you know what you wanted to do to bring yourself out of the holes that you were in?
You know, the first thing, honestly, is I had a mother who taught me from the very beginning that I could do or be anything. And I believed it. I believed it. And I made up my mind that whatever I did, I wanted to become world class at it. I didn't want to just be good. I didn't want to be very good. I wanted to be world class at it. All I had to do was find my button. And I will say this. A lot of folks are going to ask, well, how do you find your button? I can't answer that for you because the truth of the matter is, a lot of us already know, we're just afraid to push it.
Right.
So, Chris, what were some of the important moments, maybe one or two of the most important moments in your life that moved you away from poverty to seeing your personal and professional life take a positive turn?
I, again, have to go back. And this is something I'm writing about in my next book that I'm calling Spiritual Genetics. I have to go back to experiences. One in particular stays in my mind, will never leave me. I'm about a young guy about to watch a college basketball game. And the announcer is hyping this game and talking about all the money these guys are going to make simply because they can run and jump and catch a ball. And I said out loud to no one, talking to the television, I said, wow, one day that guy's going to make $1 million. Thank God my mother overheard me because my mother said, son, you know what? If you want to, you can make $1 million too. And until she said those words, the thought had never entered my mind. After she said them, the thought never left my mind. That became part of my spiritual genetics.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great point. You know, Chris, many of the people listening today are entrepreneurs, and launching your own business is a risk certainly to take in any economy, but especially today's. What's your best advice for company owners who are facing some sort of business crisis as far as how they can identify and handle the situation and how they can kind of adapt to what's going on to come out ahead?
Well, the first thing you got to realize is that 50% of all the companies in the Fortune 500 were started in either a bear market or a recession.
How about that? I didn't know that.
Mm-mm. Huh? If they can do it, you can too. Right?
Yep.
And as far as, okay, and there's some people out there, I will say this, I got to say this, I think it's very important. There's about to be a new surge in the entrepreneurial spirit in this country, and it's going to be led by people who are 50 years old and older. These are people who, in the primes of their careers, were let go, downsized, outsourced, and fired because, well, the world has changed and companies realize I can get the same work done for less money. So that next wave of entrepreneurial zest and zeal in this country is going to be led by people who I have, well, have what I call the three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but the rep, the rap, and the Rolodex.
That's great.
Christopher, good morning. This is Joe Haley. You wrote a wildly successful book, which was also the inspiration for a movie of the same title, The Pursuit of Happiness, which starred, of course, Philadelphia's own Will Smith.
What's his name?
Will Smith.
Will.
Look, I'm born and raised in West Philadelphia.
Big Will from West Phil, right.
What did it feel like when you realized that your personal life story was making such a big impact on so many people?
Man, I got to tell you something. First of all, I have to tell you, when Will Smith's name came up, I was totally not feeling it.
Really?
Oh, my God. I mean, we think Will Smith, we think big blockbuster outer space. This story is about inner space, not outer space. But it was my daughter who helped me understand it when she said to me, Papa, look, don't worry. If he can play Muhammad Ali, he can play you. But I have to tell you, man, honestly, I could not be happier with the portrayal. I was on the set every day for the 17 weeks of shooting because Will asked me to be there. And to realize that, you know what? The American dream went global a long time ago. If the essence of the American dream is, I want to do better for myself and my family, that went global a long time ago. And that is why, guys, in addition to speaking at your conference, which I'm tremendously excited about, by the end of this year, I will have spoken on each one of the inhabitable continents on the planet twice.
Wow. That's awesome.
The American dream has gone global.
Can we get some of those frequent flyer miles?
Man, I got to go to Australia 2 times in a month. That's a lot of miles, Bo.
Wow. You should just stay.
I
got to be in Mexico.
Now, Chris, you talk a lot also about how focusing on your customer service at the highest levels will yield great business rewards. So what are some of your personal customer service philosophies?
You know what? I'm going to say this, and somebody's going to get real upset with me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. One of the things that I learned the hard way, the customer is not always right.
I love
Amen
that.
Amen that. Yeah,
I believe that.
Huh?
We love that.
Is not always right, and they will appreciate you when you show them that, no, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing to do.
How do you do that?
You have to say to yourself, first of all, I'm not just trying to get some business here. I'm trying to create a relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. I'm not trying to get one piece of business. I'm trying to create a relationship. And if this guy, I see guy generically, guys, girls, everybody together, you got to be so careful these days. Right?
That's right.
This guy makes all the decisions, and I show him where this is not the smartest thing for him to do and why. Anytime he's got something big to do, he's going to call you first.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it.
And also, he is coming to you as the expert, so it would make sense for you to tell the guy or the girl where they're wrong.
Show them that way. Mm-hmm. Not just where you're wrong, but there's another option here,
right?
Something that perhaps you haven't considered. That's how you become a first call source.
Right.
And that's what you want to be, the first call.
Chris, how do you know when the instances right to tell the customer that they're wrong. You know, there's probably many times you say to yourself that, you know, you don't agree or this is, you know, something that they might not be exactly right on. But how do you know when to pick your battles on that?
Well, if you're being your authentic self, you set that up from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you say to someone, you know what? I don't know all the answers, but I do know how to find the answers. And if you ask me something and I don't know, I do know how to find out. Is that fair enough? Now, what's somebody going to say to that?
Right. Yeah, that's providing an extra service.
Yes. Adding value.
Right.
Not just delivering goods. Adding value.
Right. Absolutely. Well, now, Chris, your firm, Gardner Rich, has given more than $1 million to public schools, which we applaud, certainly.
And I wish I had it back.
So,
go ahead.
So obviously, charitable giving is an important part of your business philosophy. What would you say to business owners that are listening to our show now about including charitable efforts as part of their corporate culture?
Well, you know what? That's got to be, that goes back to something we talked about earlier, building something. When you're building something, you don't just take, you give.
Right.
That's got to be part of who you are. And a lot of folks, again, this is something that some people, please don't take it the wrong way, but folks talk about giving back. I don't believe in giving back. I believe in giving.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about giving back, that sounds like you're trying to purchase some form of karma insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some karma insurance. Well, let me give something back. No. Give because that's part of your authentic self.
Right.
That, again, is something else that will set you apart from everybody else out here that's selling goods.
Sure. Sure. Well, Christopher, thanks very much for calling in today. We really look forward to seeing you in Chicago at the ASI Chicago show on July 18th. And we look forward to catching your speech then.
Hey, man, look, I am looking forward to having all you guys in Chicago. How many folks are coming?
I'll be there.
A lot.
Everybody in this room.
Everyone in this room.
And then hundreds more for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh,
well,
yeah.
What's the biggest deal you guys ever did?
The biggest convention
the biggest
that we've
keynote?
Done?
Yeah.
Probably Bill Clinton when he spoke. Where was
Who?
That, Joe? And Phil,
Bill
President
Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember him?
that guy.
I have a problem. Have you noticed Bills and Wills kind of calls me? Well, you know what, man? Let me tell you something. I am tremendously excited about you guys coming to Chicago. I am tremendously excited. And if I come out here and do this thing right, next year you're going to have to get Elvis.
You know what?
I'll see you in Chicago.
You know
baby.
What? If we can get Elvis, that'll be a story. All right, Christopher
All right,
Gardner, thanks
thank
very much.
You guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
I love
All
his
right,
laugh.
See you in Chicago.
Bye-bye.
All right,
I love
bye.
His laugh.
That guy's laugh is going to win over the ASI show
yeah,
crowd.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
As I said, he will be speaking at the ASI Chicago show on July 18th. Check out that
He's
and more
great.
Information at asishow.com. And right now we're going to pause to hear from our show sponsor today, ASI Computer. But when we get back, we'll talk about the issue of trust in business.
Have you outgrown your current order management software? ASI Computer Systems and ASI SmartBooks will streamline your business. From accounting and marketing to order management and shipping, ASI SmartBooks manages all aspects of your business with one software solution, specifically designed for the advertising specialty industry and fully integrated with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Spend less time organizing and more time making sales. Call 1-800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to grow your business with ASI SmartBooks. Get ASI SmartBooks.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show, where we just interviewed Christopher Gardner, the author of Pursuit of Happiness. How funny was that guy?
He's yeah, very awesome. Happy.
He is very happy. Yes. He's got maybe the best laugh we've ever had on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. I like his little thing, a rep, and Rolodex.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Kathy and I
the
have
three
it.
R's.
That's us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kathy will be 50 before I will, so she'll be taking
2 months. So I'll be starting my own entrepreneurship.
Have you both worked on your rep, your rap, and your Rolodex?
Absolutely. Oh, Joe has a great rap. You should hear it.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have such a great rep.
After I rap, I'll have it.
Oh, boy. All right. We're moving on now. In the April issue of Counselor Magazine, we're going to be looking at the issue of trust in business and how engendering trust among your clients and your employees and your vendors can help your business even further. So we wanted to expand that conversation a little bit today and open it up to callers. So if you have any questions about trust and how you can gain more trust in business, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. We have a few callers on the line. On line three, we have Albert. Albert, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing great.
All right. I've got a question for you. I've been working with a new client, and in the course of talking with them, I've found out that the distributor they're currently using is actually a supplier. And I'm wondering, what's my responsibility? What should I do about this?
Joe?
I would do nothing. I would go in there with great ideas to solve his, business problems, his challenges and stuff. Go in there with some creativity. Show him why working with you would be a good thing, and move on.
Albert, are you asking us if you should call the supplier and say, hey, what are you doing selling direct?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do I have some sort of responsibility to put them straight? Or do I just keep my nose out of it?
I like Joe's idea. I mean, just, do your own thing and, work on your own merit.
Because then I could do, and then it feeds a paranoia. And the next thing you know, is this one selling direct? Is that one selling direct? And then you become consumed with that, and you start to lose focus of why you're in business and what you're doing and how you're an important asset to your clients.
Hmm.
I mean, dirty little secret, there are plenty of suppliers that have distributor firms in this industry. It is just a fact of life.
As there are many distributors who source directly from overseas.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
That's why we're talking about this trust issue. So, I would echo what Joe said. You just have to be better. That's a competitor of yours. You don't like it necessarily, and we don't like it either per se. But the point is that you have to be better at what you do than they are. You got to provide, like Joe said, better ideas and be more valuable to that client. That's probably just the best way to go.
That's a shame, but I understand your advice. Well, thanks.
All right, Albert, thanks for the call.
Take care.
It is a tough issue. It is something that distributors face a lot. And Michelle, like you said, suppliers face it a lot too. That's why there is a lack of trust on both sides. Mm-hmm. And, both just kind of need to be better at their jobs.
The bottom line with that too is to work with your preferred vendors who you have like an established, loyal, long-term relationship with, who mm-hmm. Will come through for you and won't go, behind your back like that. That's the key.
Right. The whole point of this is that you want to trust and like the people that you do business with. If you can't trust the people you do business with, then why are you doing business with them?
One of the most interesting things you'd ever want to see is being on a trade show floor in Canton, in Guangzhou, or in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. and a supplier walking into a distributor. Because mm-hmm. I've seen it. And,
sure.
and how the two of them kind of dance around the topic of, well, what the hell are you doing here? You're my client, yet you're here clearly sourcing the same products that I provide.
Right.
It's fascinating.
So what But Michelle, what do they say? I mean, while they can dance around it, the facts are that they're both there. So what do they say to each other?
I've only seen it happen once where a supplier directly called the distributor on the carpet and said, why are you here? Typically, the suppliers are very polite and deferential, but just make a mental note like, oh, that's great. Now I know mm-hmm. so-and-so is doing it. I've only seen one directly confront somebody and say, you're here. So does that mean I can go direct to your clients?
Mm-hmm.
And the distributor was flummoxed.
Right, mm-hmm. for sure. All right, on line five, we have Ed calling in with a question or comment about trust. Ed, how are you today?
Good morning, fun bunch. How are you?
Fun bunch.
Whoa.
I like that.
We're not the funky bunch?
Well, you must be a lot of fun because I had as much trouble getting through today as calling ESPN or Rush Limbaugh.
See, we have a busy switchboard. Our man Vinny at the switchboard is a busy man today. So, Ed, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to share a little anecdote about a call last week. I did something I normally don't do, which is to bid, and it was one of these long, drawn-out bids. And I did it, and I didn't hear anything. And then last week I heard from her again, another email warning, two more bid items, and she wasn't explicit at all. She said, how many pens can I get for $4,000? And I emailed her back. I thought it was fair to say, well, do you want a plastic pen? You know, what do you want it to be? She emailed me back, thank you anyway.
What do you mean, thank you anyway?
That's what I said. That she just dissed me, you know, faced me and wrote me off, and I couldn't help but email back. Is it not fair to ask, you know, trying to help you, trying to help me help you?
Right.
And she said, I'll just take you off my list, and I just dropped it at that. I wanted to email back, please do. But that's a case where you fire that prospect, even if, you know, there's just no point in hanging in there.
No, there's not. You're right.
It's not so much a trust issue, but just, you know, when you might want to fire a client issue.
That's right.
And I'm not one that normally wants to do that. But.
Well, obviously that person's kind of obnoxious, so you don't want to work with them anyway, I would say.
Do you have in your – have some of you been distributors before?
No.
We have not.
I thought one or two of you had.
Nope.
I just wondered about the success in dealing with ad agencies. That would be a trust factor or not, because I think they're out for ideas and – a lot of times not ever intent on using your ideas.
I think it's a partner-type ship relationship. You know, you're going to bring something different to the table than the distributor, I mean, than the ad agency can. Obviously, I would think that's why they're going to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can build that partnership with them, feed them some good ideas, make sure that you're working with them, not for them. I think that the relationship can be successful, but you never know what's going to happen out there.
Yeah,
some of them are RASI, and of course, they don't always tell you that, but they will sometimes be honest enough to tell you up front that we're ASI, and you leave it alone then.
But right.
I sort of do a little paranoia thing with sending ideas. Sometimes I will code my attachments that I name them by, which tells me who the vendor is, just so they're not – if somebody wants to steal that and want to make it easy for the guy they want to use, then they're not going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you do want to be a little careful with ad agencies. They do kind of toe the line here a little bit. You know, and they're, if you're providing your ideas for essentially nothing to them, they're just taking those ideas to their own clients, which could be your clients as well as it relates to promotional products or promotional campaigns. So I think you do want to be careful and like Joe said, you know, try to create a partnership where, you know, you're sort of equals in a sense.
Don't we all want to be like they are and bill for our time, which I guess most all of us do not do and probably never will.
Right. It's a difficult thing. It definitely is. Well, Ed, thanks for sticking to it and getting through on the line today.
Okay, guys.
All right. Thank you. On line four, we have Stanley. Stanley, how are you today?
Hey, very good. How are you?
Doing great. What's your question?
Well, this is a subject that many people know is close to my heart, and I think that one of the challenges right now is that, you know, we are definitely in a relationship with the vendors. And as I said to one of the vendors who was selling direct, and it happened to come right in my lap, I said, you know, this is kind of like, you know, we're married, and you're introducing me to your girlfriend, and you're telling me you want me to like it. So in order to, I think, swim through these muddy waters, because, hey, let's face it, you know, the vendors are also, they need to make sales, and they need to keep their doors open. So I can understand why the temptation to sell direct. But what I do is we have a sign in our office that says the secret to creativity is knowing how to hide your sources. And that was said by Albert Einstein over 100 years ago. So it's more true then, you know, now than it was then. I think the way we're handling it is we're just trying to, besides build relationships, offer things that others aren't offering. And when we show ideas, simply don't show information of where it comes from and who's making it and all that. And I think that's probably the best way we can handle it. I've asked for a long time, it would be nice if maybe ESP added some categories like ships in blank boxes, ships without logos on it, because then we could use vendors that like to, you know, protect us and build that relationship. I think the more the relationship is built, the stronger this industry will get, and those that want to sell direct. And same thing with distributors. Distributors need to stop ordering free samples from one vendor and giving the order to somebody else just because of a penny. So
sure, it's a two-way
street. There's a lot of trust that needs to be reestablished, and I think if we could work on that, I think we'd have a much stronger industry. I mean, what do you think?
I would agree with that. I think we all would agree that there's you know, there's trust issues, and overcoming them is important. And like you said, you know, you not not the idea of necessarily hiding sources. I think that you want to do that in certain instances, but you're striving to provide ideas to clients and make your partnership with them as solid as possible. So it doesn't matter who else is competing with you, you know, whether it's the traditional distributor or, you know, unfortunately, the supplier down the street who may also be trying to sell to clients as well. You know, you're just trying to be better. Like we were saying to our first caller, you're trying to be better than they are, no matter who that competitor is.
Yeah, my friend out here in California has one of the most successful auto radio installation places. And any place can install a radio, but this guy, he offers customized, you know, dashboard creation and all these customized things. So what I took from that years ago was, instead of just offering a product, you know, Cliff Quicksell always talks about offer packaging, offer mm-hmm. things that other people don't offer that makes you a complete source. And regarding the gentleman about the ad agencies, I particularly love ad agencies because ad agencies don't have time to mess around with finding the promotional products. And if you can establish right. yourself with an ad agency, mm-hmm. I have found that those relationships are completely based on trust because their whole industry was based on, we don't want to know what the other guy's thinking because of copyright and all this. And again, I think it's a great, I've got two ad agencies that I sell to, and they are loyal, nice, courteous, they pay their bills, and they appreciate the creativity.
That's great. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Stanley, thanks for the call, and hang on the line for your Visa gift card. On line two, we have Kathy. Kathy, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. What's your question or comment about trust?
I was just making a comment. I had a supplier that I used exclusively for contract screen printing, and just recently they decided to sell direct, but I found out through they joined our local chamber. So I confronted them, asked them if they were selling direct. They kind of beat around the bush for a while, and in a roundabout way, eventually, you know, let us know that they were. And I think as long as they're honest and let us make the decision to continue that relationship, but I think when they kind of go behind your back mm-hmm. and won't
sure.
be forthcoming, then, you know, I chose to move my business somewhere else because of the trust factor. Mm-hmm. If I can't trust my supplier, then it's time for me to move on. And they had a hard time understanding that. But, you know, if you're going to sell direct, you've now become my competitor. So
yeah, absolutely.
Now were they targeting your clients, or were they just deciding to also get in the same game you were in?
I think they were, I guess, you know, targeting my clients because they said they were just going to sell local, which is what I do. So, you know, they had my client information that mm-hmm. in the past 3 years of business that I had given them. But my biggest concern, you know, they had published my pricing on their website. So I'm like, you know, my biggest concern, and anyone can see our pricing, and he goes, well, you know, only you get that. Not everyone gets that pricing. But,
right.
but if I'm it's like, it's yeah. published on your website.
Right.
right.
You know, so I just, you know, as long as I think it, be honest and open mm-hmm. the distributors that you do have, you know, this other side of your business that you do sell direct, and you know,
right?
Yeah, I think that's the important message. Is you know, you tend to trust people that are more honest with you, even if they're doing things you might not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty really helps.
Well, and on ESP, suppliers will even put if they're selling direct. I mean, if they're being upfront about
it. Some, yeah,
yeah,
some are.
Yeah.
All right, Kathy, thanks very much for the call, and hang on the line so Vinny can get your information for your Visa gift card.
Great, thanks.
Okay, well, we have just enough time for our editor's favorite thing, so Kathy, lead us off.
All right,
Michelle's
Andy.
Favorite section.
Yeah.
She hates when I say okay. that, so I chose not to.
Wait, Andy.
You scared of her?
Did you know that 1.53 billion gallons of ice cream were produced last year?
No.
You know what that means?
We
people
eat
need
a lot
ice cream,
of ice cream
scoopers. Yeah. People are fat. No.
I'm sure that ice cream's already gone.
Anyway, this is why I think all Americans would love the brand new stainless steel ice cream scoop from American Made Cutlery, ASI 35560. And it has a specially shaped larger bowl for easy scooping. So when you're really hungry for that ice cream, Andy, it's, you know,
easy
to get out.
We all could use a little easy scooping. All right,
yep.
Kathy, thanks very much.
You're
Joe,
welcome.
You're sitting behind a bunch of stuffed animals.
Oh, these are my buddies. These are Beanie Buddies, and they come with a bunch of different characters. We got a frog. We got a little tiger. Aww. Andy, we got an alligator for you. Look at a little duck. Mina liked that one earlier. We've got this lion with a great mane, and, of course, there's an elephant. These are great for preschools, daycares. They're also great for pediatricians, pediatric dentists, children's hospitals.
Or even me.
You see, look, all the girls go, oh, everyone says, oh. So they're great for colleges, universities, sororities, fraternities. They come with a little customizable T-shirt. They're available from Vitronic Promotional Group. That's ASI 93990. And you can find them online at www.vitronicpromotional.com.
All right, Michelle, I don't know how you could follow that up, but go ahead.
All right. Does anybody watch Game of Thrones here?
No.
No.
Okay. Well,
no, we have lives.
You're all nerds. You're all losers. Anyway, Game of Thrones is starting.
Not the nerds.
Yes. You don't know. It's one of the best shows on TV. It's starting again in March. Anyway, these keys reminded me of something you'd see on Game of Thrones, and they're from Steel Threads, who do really cool kind of funky stuff, and it's ASI 89475, steelthreads.com.
Is that like the skull key?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
They're metal keys.
All right, very cool stuff. You could check that all out right now on our website at asicentral.com/radio. Unfortunately, we are out of time for our show today, but thank you to our listeners. Thanks to Chris Gardner for calling in, and we'll see you all again next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Ben Stein's on the show.
Ben Stein's on the show next week.